Welcome to 50 Flicks of Grey and Jay. After a month's break from the cast, a spiritual sabbatical, a creative paternity leave, we have given birth to something new just for you. That's right, the cast is getting a makeover, an upgrade. We discuss some of the direction we'll be taking in the future while giving you a sneak peek to a new segment we like to call Jamie on the Streets. This episode was incredible to record. Pure crack and laughter throughout as we discuss Bubba Boys, bat bombs in the mouth, and who wins between John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Later on, we break down some of the Oscars 2021 nominees, winners, and overall review of this historical night. We finish you off with the Star Wars controversy. I only found out about this. It's been going on for years. The People versus George Lucas. This is an episode. It's one for the film lovers. I think you're going to enjoy.
Hi, Jay. Here we are. What's this episode number 34?
Yes.
Number 34.
Let's go with that.
Waking Life. So there was a delay after the last one. A month's delay, I suppose.
We took some time off.
Probably longer than a month in the
end. Like a spiritual paternity leave.
There you go, that's it, yeah. A sabbatical, a spiritual sabbatical.
Yeah, we had a few things happening in our lives.
Don't list them all at once, James.
No, we didn't really have that much. I mean, the country was still in lockdown, we weren't doing that much. But you and I did a half marathon.
Yeah, we did a half marathon. That took over for a long time. And then, it was my job to edit the Waking Life when I ran out of momentum, I think.
Yeah, what'd you do, Graham?
I just ran out of I think it was the marathon stuff, and then there was like a week where I got put on the back burner, and then I just snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Snowballed in a bad way.
Well, like I told you off the cast, I think it was probably the right timing for that. I think we kind of just needed a bit of it. We've been doing pretty well with the cast since, what, nearly a year? When did we start? May, June? July?
It was sometime... Yeah.
It's about that. It's definitely been 9 months. We have a baby of a cast at the moment.
I actually want to check because it will be the year anniversary soon. Because, March is when it kicked off. So, yeah, it must have been a few months after the beginning of it.
I think we should do something big for it.
We should do something. Well, I talked to you before about rebranding the cast. Maybe we can talk about it here. Because if anybody listens and has any ideas...
That'd be great. Yeah, what do you think we should do with this?
I don't know.
Platform. No, I'm talking to them.
Yes, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
I panicked there. I thought you were asking me.
See, the problem with doing a pre-recorded podcast is there's literally no interactivity. They're not going to reply, Grin.
This is like a future question, we're basically.
I guess, you know, yeah. We're speaking to the future.
We're putting a question into the future.
Yeah.
I don't know, just spice it up. I think trying to find an... You know, okay, I had one idea, right? And I don't think it's the best idea, but I think the direction of the idea is maybe the right direction, right? Have you ever heard of, there was like this music label called the Ministry of Sound?
Yeah.
Do you ever hear that?
And they were massive, yeah.
Yeah, they put out CDs called Euphoria, and they would have like, they would just make compilations and remix them and stuff like that. It was really big in the 90s. But I always loved that they had this Ministry of Sound, and they had like a logo, and it was like... You know, the Ministry of Defense, like they kind of had this thing where they're pretending. And I kind of just thought, I liked that idea. I was like, that sounds so like if we rebranded it. I'm not saying we should call it this, but the only thing I could think of that was in any way remotely good was, you know, like the Ministry of Crack. You know, if you did something like that, where it's kind of like a play on words of something that's already real.
But then are we reviewing music? You want to go into music?
No, but like that's just like the Ministry of. Doing bicep curls, like the ministry of whatever the fuck you want.
So you
want
to do an exercise podcast?
I want to do an all around podcast, and I think if we broke things down into segments more, and I think if we had pre recorded segments, I told you I wanted to do something with my nan sometime, kind of have tea with her and talk with her.
Well, and I keep talking about doing the Vox Pops. Something in my head really wants to just interact with the public. You know what I mean?
I think so.
From a distance. Keep your mask on. Whatever. But like, I'm going to put a mic in your face and ask you what you think of the latest movie or what you think of Russell Crowe or the man running the country. Whoever. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea. It'd take a bit of...
But that makes sense. I think we're
naturally...
Good
to get out there and ask people.
Well, yeah, but it also... Like, I think sometimes I need to...
Yeah.
I think sometimes I need to talk to a stranger.
Well, you did some of that today. You're naturally gifted when it comes to that.
At times, yeah.
You're able to do it quite off the bat. I do it too, but like it takes me longer to get there.
Yeah, but you see, I don't think you need it as much as I do. I think there's something in me that needs to talk to that person.
I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you kind of get a, you, it's like a challenge for you. You like really want to ask the question. Sometimes I'm like, I definitely do not want to talk to that stranger.
Yeah, I think I get a buzz off randomers. Jamie on
the streets. Do they have an audience of what's crack?
I'll come over here.
Did they do it in the gaff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't do a Zoom Oscars, did they?
No, they did it with the Golden Globes. They did a Zoom and it was very awkward. People were not happy with it. They said it was like, it was very strange.
Yeah.
No, with the Oscars, they had a kind of like a very small intimate room with just the people that were nominated.
I saw three of the films at one.
Which ones were those?
Nomadland. That's savage.
That's just on Disney Plus now.
Right. She's a vagabond and then she's like, they're living out of caravans and like they're all broke, destitute. And, you know, I lived in America for a long time and it's hard living out there if you don't have a job or if you're like stuck, you know. Well, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was really, really well done. Yeah. It left me shook. And that's what you want, you know what I mean? Right. You know, the Oscars, you know, people can say they're bloated and all that, and they are to an extent, to a large extent. It's all a lot of self-congratulatory wank. But they are given, like, films like, you know, Parasite last year. You remember? You saw that one, did you?
Yes.
Fantastic. You know, good. Blew the fucking mind off me, you know? Yeah. And then, like, you know, they're giving that a chance. How many people are going to actually sit down with a film with subtitles, you know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
You know, one of my favourite fucking quotes I ever thought, when I was working in Next Division back in the day, was some lad and his girlfriend were there, and she was looking at the penis, you know? Yeah, rest in peace, big style, yeah. But he was there with his girlfriend, and he goes, turns to her, and she goes, oh, do you want to see this? A lad that plays the piano, was in the war. I was like, yeah, I highly recommend it. And he goes, if I wanted to read a film, I'd buy a book. That's brilliant, you know what I mean? Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it is, it's great that Aziz is giving people that little opportunity to see something different. Amazing. You know, yeah. So yeah, I'm in favour of, I don't like the institution of the Oscars, you know, but I am in favour of people being like told about more great films. And if that's what it does, then you know you can't knock it, really, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah,
no problem, buddy.
Our podcast is kind of going that way anyway. I mean, I think we love movies. I think we should have a movie segment
for sure.
And just stretch out the cast.
Stretch out the calves. I don't know why I was thinking. Is that what it should be called?
Stretch out the calves.
Cast.
Stretch out the cast. No, that's terrible.
But like, it's there's something there.
Your teeth are so white.
They're not though.
I just noticed
drinking loads of tea.
You're drinking tea.
We were talking a few minutes before we started the cast about sometimes I drink 4 or 5 cups of tea a day, which is not good. And I have coffee as well, so. I buy the toothpaste that says whitening on it.
Yeah.
charcoal. I actually have some charcoal.
That shit works, man.
Or
if you have a coconut oil, there's a technique called oil pulling. Really? You take coconut oil, put it in your mouth, and you just swirl it around for like 10 minutes. Spit it out. Don't swallow.
Okay, yeah.
And what you're seeing is like shite. It'll pull out all this weirdness. No, but your tea are white. You need to add red wine to your list if you really want to go fully... into like, you know, grey tea territory.
Why does red wine help your tea?
No, I mean like coffee, tea, red wine. Like, if you actually want,
I thought it was like a remedy, like, you know what I mean, like, because you know when you use the charcoal stuff, your mouth looks black, but then you spit it out and
then it's gone. Yeah,
but I don't use it. We have like a little thing, it looks like a little face cream jar that you screw off, and it just has the powder in. But I never use it enough. I used it a few times, but I just stopped using it.
What do you mean? Did you just sprinkle the powder on top of your normal toothpaste?
Yeah, you can do it that way, or if you wet your toothbrush, you can dip it in the top. I know that's probably not as hygienic.
All right.
As doing it otherwise, like if you wouldn't be want to be sharing it, that's one way you can do it. Or you sprinkle it on or something.
It was a good year of my life where I was addicted to the Lush toothpaste tablets.
Toothpaste tablets.
It came from Lush. The ingredients were really natural.
Were they all vegan.
He brushes your teeth from the inside out. No,
I hope you're bum in your...
And you're gone. You're good to go.
You get whiter.
Yeah, you get the pill, you get the toothbrush, put them both up there, and then you'll be smiling
if
all day.
If it's a vibrating toothbrush, then you'll be happy out.
Lush don't sell that, unfortunately.
No,
but they should. They should go into that. Next door.
We'll get on to Mika. She works for Lush. She can put in a word.
We'll let her know. Yeah. But that's what we want. That's what the people want. Yeah. No, there was like these little tablets that they had. That would be like bat bombs, but for your mouth.
Okay.
And
he's having a seizure. So he's just brushing his teeth.
Foaming at the mouth.
Wow.
Yeah, they'd kind of burst into your mouth. And
it's a snot sound.
Good. I loved it. I got so into it, man. Really, yeah, because you get like 30 in a thing and like the ingredients were so natural and good.
Well, that's good. You know what I mean? Behind that.
Yeah, it wasn't washing up liquid and the other shite that they normally put into toothpaste.
Isn't it? There's bad stuff.
That was all weird shit, man. I know,
yeah.
It was so unnecessary, like loads of gums and...
I don't know. People have debates about
vegan?
Fluoride.
Are they toothpaste vegan?
Well, some of it is. I mean, the
half of the ingredients are vegan.
Well, because like
the other half is animal bone marrow.
No, because the ingredients might be vegan.
Yeah.
Maybe they're testing it on animals, so then the product isn't vegan.
Yeah.
And the good thing about Lush, what I liked was it was vegan, and I was like, well, then it says vegan, I don't have to think about either one.
Yeah. But see, the charcoal is like good for whitening your teeth, but it doesn't feel like my teeth are clean.
Right.
Opposed to using mouthwash and other stuff that probably has loads of chemicals in it, but it doesn't give you that same feeling of like
the mint.
Yeah, that you've disinfected your mouth, which is probably not a good thing. It's like I'm washing out with bleach, you know. It stings, it's good, it's clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The powder stuff, the charcoal, doesn't give you that feeling, but that's because it's different stuff. So.
Yeah, I think some of these Lush stuff is like a mix, or you could mix and match, you know what I mean? Like one day I might go charcoal, the next day I might go like organic mint.
Yeah.
Bath bomb in the mouth.
Bath bomb in the mouth.
Bath bomb in the mouth.
It sounds good. Just before we move on to the Oscar stuff, to go back to the cast. The Ministry of Crack.
Ministry of Crack.
What do you think of that name?
It's growing on me. I think...
But it's like, maybe it's too like silly. It's too like, I don't know, there's something missing. Maybe that would be a good name for a comedy club in Dublin. The Ministry of Crack.
Maybe. It could work for the cast as well. I mean...
I don't know. I'm just laughing at my own idea.
I'm not shitting on it.
In an ironic way.
I'm not shitting on it yet.
Yeah, not yet.
You're
no, I'm gonna mull it over.
I'm gonna mull it over. Yeah, it's all so new. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I have to say goodbye to 50 flicks. I have to like either send it off to college or just like kill it. I don't know. Like,
no, we have to get to 50 flicks.
We have to get to 50.
And can we just rebrand the Instagram? Can we just
create a different name?
Yeah, no, I just think some way to spice it up. Probably doing a few more things like
the Ministry of Crack.
Definitely more interviews. I want to try and find a way if. And not even, we don't have to do it together, but if you're going off somewhere and you have an opportunity to like, oh, I can like talk to this person for 5 or 10 minutes and then put that in, I can do the same. If I mean a friend in Galway who's in a band or something,
mm-hmm.
Let's have a chat for 10 minutes.
So there's like a documentary section.
Yeah, we like bring a bunch of stuff together if we can.
That makes a lot of sense, man. I think, yeah.
Diversify.
Anytime we've talked about adding things into the podcast that isn't movie related, which usually mostly the ideas we've had are kind of unmovie related anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've always kind of lent into doing a bit more of what we did when we were in college. That kind of feeling of having a full-on radio show that was ours with like sections in it that kind of accompanied a few different things. I think that was really fun.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think what podcasts are doing is kind of in a way rebelling against the idea of radio and the structure of radio.
Mm.
But like, that shouldn't be lost either. That works.
There's a lot
you just
of podcasts
have to,
that
do
follow a very strict style and
right.
formatting. Yeah.
Well, I haven't found that yet.
I've listened to a few where they have like the opening and they're like chatting on today's
and
show.
The ads and okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't have, it doesn't feel like a radio show.
No.
It doesn't have like the music and then the movies and the, you
and
know.
Bad
like,
DJ. Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it is different. Radio's probably getting worse because all the good people on radio are probably going to the podcast and then.
Maybe, yeah.
They're really good, like, you know what I mean? Why not just do your own thing?
Just do your own thing. That's
yeah,
it.
And get sponsorship. If we still meet up and we have a long chat like this, and then if we have segments, we'll figure out how to put them in afterwards, or we'll go to the meetup, the long recording session, knowing what bits in our head. So then we'll know, like, over
what to fit them in.
Yeah, we'll talk for like an hour or 2 hours, and we'll know that will be cut down, and then a lot of chunks might be coming.
Yeah, that's perfect. That makes plenty of
a
sense.
A few jingles, if we can find or convince people to give us some jingles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just
yeah.
If we have a few different, like if I have tea with my nan,
mm.
I could have a jingle for that or something. Or just something to differentiate some music, just to bring us from this
mm-hmm.
into tea with nanny Tess or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to bring us back.
Brilliant.
But yeah, just like a little funny
Jamie
segments.
On the streets.
We're gonna take that.
No, that's I'm ripping off from your man.
Who?
Oh, what do you call him? The comedian. On the streets. You know his name. He's in Parks and Rec at
oh,
one point.
Oh, Craig from Parks and Rec.
And he's Craig. He's
and
like
he gets
tall.
Really angry.
He's tall. And he's got like a hair thing, and he's got something like an eye thing, and
yeah,
he's very. I'm not describing him well, but he's very handsome.
Yeah,
I think
and he
he's
gets
gay.
Angry. He's like, oh my god.
He sometimes goes around the streets with like his show got so big, he ended up like New York as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got all classes meeting. he would have like celebrities going down like Fifth Avenue with him or whatever, you know, yeah. just like interviewing people on the show. What do you think of Bradley Cooper? Oh my God, you're Bradley Cooper. You know what No, I won't do that. I don't nick ideas. I can't do that, Graham.
Yeah, no, you can't.
But I have a different name, so maybe the jingle could be slightly different. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I don't want to make it too much work, though, either. I want it to be fun. Like, I don't want it to be like, oh, we have to film 5 segments before we record next Tuesday. Yeah. Like, that's going to suck the fun out of it. So,
of course.
Maybe there could be bigger gaps between episodes.
I would see it more as a direction, a creative direction. That would give the show a lot of variety and keep things... Yeah, you don't want to we don't want to call it the Ministry of Work. Like
the Ministry of Work? No, it's the Ministry of Crack. I don't know. That sounds stupid.
It kind of does, but I think I like it. I don't know. I want it to grow on me like the way moss grows on a wall. Over time.
Slowly.
Unwanted.
Slowly.
Moist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Track snails.
One big thing that's clearly changed since we last did this cast was... Ireland was in the longest lockdown in Europe.
Pretty much, since, yeah.
I think we had the number one lockdown.
Number one.
We won. No, but...
We did it.
Yeah, since Christmas and the second wave that hit Ireland from the UK, I guess, we had the longest lockdown of like 4 months.
Pretty much since Christmas until like a week ago.
Last week.
Since like a few weeks, yeah. So it was like 3-4 months and a bit.
So, you know, some of the countries kind of exploding out and enjoying the few days of sun we've had since and really filling up Stephen's Green and going nuts, being in shorts, having drinks, having fun. Nothing's really opened yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, just be in your bubble. Like a literal just what? Do you remember Bubble Boy?
Wait, like John Travolta?
What?
He was in a film called The Boy in the Bubble.
No, this is called Bubble Boy.
Bubble Boy?
I think it was Adam Sandler? No. It wasn't Adam Sandler. This is a real thing.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
What? He was the Bubble Boy?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Shit,
Jake Gyllenhaal was the Bubble Girl. Bubble Boy. 2001. He looks ridiculous, doesn't he?
That is him, yeah.
He has like the... he must be quite young in this, actually, is he?
Yeah. His mum was afraid of him catching germs because she believed that he had a low immune system, so she put him in a bubble. And then I think... spoilers! Do you want to know what happens? Are you going to sit down and watch this movie sometime?
Tell me.
I think he eventually tries to get out of the bubble and realises he's fine. His mum was just trying to protect him because then she felt like she had something to protect.
That makes sense.
I think that was the whole movie.
Yeah, that's a good ending, that he would be fine. Like,
he was grand, get out of the bubble.
But like, in all fairness, if he was in the bubble, his immune system probably wouldn't be the best, right?
Well, there's that too, yeah.
But anyway, look, here's the one with John Travolta. See the boy in the plastic bubble?
The boy in the bubble, what the fuck?
You see?
And like, what did he do?
I think I don't actually remember. This is a TV film, 1976, with John Travolta. And I think it's the same sort of thing. Like, he was sick. He needed to live in this... Yeah, he needed to live in, like, a fucking cage.
Jesus.
Favourite John Travolta movie? What would you put?
Face Off.
Brilliant choice. That's brilliant.
It's the first one that comes to mind.
And
it's
never seen Face Off.
Great.
And I'm just waiting for it to pop up on a streaming thing. And I'm going to make her watch it. Because it just gets to that point where it goes ridiculous. Yeah. And shooting mirrors. And,
yes, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
And remember the kid puts on the... the
face.
there's some of that. There's like a little kid in it. And John Travolta puts the headphones on before the place gets raided. And he's listening to like Somewhere Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. But like, it's in slow motion and everybody's shooting everyone. Wow. And the kid's just walking around with everyone getting shot. It's the most ridiculous film.
It really is. Yeah. It was just perfect timing because Nicolas Cage and John Travolta are just bonkers. They're just such weird human beings. Yeah. They're fantastic, but they're so fucking weird. To have them together in one movie is just so much weird. Yeah. Like, it's a
speedboat chase at the end of it. Like,
Travolta, like, you know, I think Nicolas Cage gets more slack than Travolta because because he's lost a lot of money over the years. I think his roles have got worse.
Yes.
But he's always been kind of hammy, even though he's incredible as an actor. He's hammy.
Yeah.
He's a hammy, fantastic actor. But people forget, Travolta's the same.
Yeah.
Man, I know you like Swordfish, but he's so fucking terribly great and shit in that film. And then he plays that character in other films that I can't really remember right now. There's one where he has a shaved head and a beard and he's some bad guy.
That's the train one. They remade the taking of Felon 123.
Yeah, but he plays that character in another film where he's the same thing. He just wanted to be a bad guy with a bald head and a beard for few films.
It's something in Paris, isn't it? He's in Paris.
The Paris one?
With a rocket launcher.
Yes, okay, he's kind of bad, kind of good. He started being a bad, but it's all the same.
No, you're right, but he does have...
I love that. That's how you describe that movie. He's in Paris with a rocket launcher.
That's like the poster. The rocket launcher. The RPG.
It's brilliant. It sells itself.
Yeah. But no, he does have some... proper film. So Pulp Fiction, he's great.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
There is more than that. He had a string there for a while, maybe in the 90s. I know Face Off was kind of bad, but he had a few. It was a Get Smart or something it was called.
Get Smart.
Yeah, that
The Rock was in that. Yeah.
The Rock was in that, but that wasn't a bad cast. Film. Yeah, that wasn't a bad. That was okay. Like
that was a huge cast. Yeah, it was. I think that was a good film. I don't know if it was what it was marketing itself as. It seemed like this huge film.
The cast was huge. They overblown it.
They spent all the money on the cast, and I wasn't really sure what the movie was about.
I don't think anybody knew.
Huh? No, I felt like I got dumb watching that, man. I had no clue what happened by the end of it.
You know what he's in? You know, what's his name?
Greece.
Greece is good. Cuba Gooding Jr. and David Swimmer, we're awesome friends.
Yeah.
Are in a film about O.J. Simpson. The trial of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Won a bunch of Golden Globes.
Great.
But John Travolta is in that as a really awful lawyer.
Judge. Oh, fuck. I want to be a judge.
No, but he's so good.
Really?
And he just, because he looks like one of those, like his face is a little bit fake because he's had work done and his receding hairline with the dyed hair. And it's just and he just plays this asshole. And he's just so good. I don't know, maybe he's just playing himself for once, but
yeah,
I recommend watching that.
Yeah, I might give that a go. No, he hits the mark, don't get me wrong, but I just think he somehow gets away with being called like a great actor, and Nicolas Cage and Nicolas Cage is considered crazy when I'd put them both in the same bracket. I think they're both nutcases.
They're both nuts, but Nicolas Cage definitely is the better actor. I remember there's somebody is it Werner Herzog, a famous German director, I think, said once, I have to check this, but
Cage is the greatest to ever
do
it.
No, he said he's done more for acting like in his generation than any other actor.
Really?
To push the form of acting. Not that he's the best actor of his generation, but that he's gone so outside the box with some of his over-the-top performances.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like leaving Las Vegas, he got fucking drunk to play an alcoholic, which is like just insane. Like, it was really dangerous. And then just other films, like he goes so crazy, so over-the-top. Like there's another film as well where... There's a film where he... Oh, what's it called? There's a film where I think he's playing like a gambler. He's like a... He's like a gambling addict. Is there a word for that? Gambaholic.
Gambling addict. Yeah, I don't think there is a term for that.
Brain. Anyway, he gives the character Tourette for no reason other than... It has nothing to do with the film. He just gave his character Tourette, so he's like crazy in this film. But anyway, his performances are so wild and all over the place that he has pushed the form a little bit. He's in a David Lynch film called Wilder Heart, and he's crazy in it.
Wow.
He wears a snakeskin jacket and he's singing Elvis songs, and he like punches people's heads in when he gets intimidated. He just like beats people's heads in like a bloody pub.
Wow.
And then he's dancing in the desert. Like he's just... And then he has the really bad films where he's just like awful.
Oh man, yeah. I think we need to do like a Nicolas Cage appreciation.
Maybe episode. We should. We could watch a few of his films and we could talk about it.
Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona is a Coen Brothers film, and that's one of my favorites.
It's gold, it's so good.
He's so funny in it.
He's brilliant in that. Yeah.
And the car chase, he's getting chased by the cops and he's wearing the tights on his head.
Yeah.
He like runs through the house and the garden and runs through the supermarket. He's like runs through the whole neighborhood getting chased by the cops. He's with hillbilly music playing, like his banjo music playing. It's great.
Yeah, he's so silly in that. Like, I'm just thinking.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Nicolas Cage with tights on his head. He is a
Libra. We even talked about the Oscars.
Ah, fuck the Oscars.
Well, let's finish on the Oscars.
Okay, the Oscars were great.
They were different this year because of the COVID thing. They had a different vibe. What did you find? How did you find the vibe?
I didn't watch it all. I couldn't stay up, Graham. I was sleep deprived.
Ridiculously late.
You completed that level. You finished the whole thing. I got halfway through it. I also missed a bit at the start. I'll say this. I loved the setup. It didn't feel as grand. You know what I mean? The Oscars is so like stepping into a church sometimes. You know what I mean? It has that feeling of like bigger than life, you know. It's like
all the celebrities.
All the celebrities, but also like the state, you know, the room looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you could say intimidating, but I would also say grand, you know, it's good and bad. So it lost a bit of that, but I guess what it was replaced with was a very informal kind of jazz scene, kind of room, you know what I mean? There was all these tables dotted around, and the levels were higher than the stage, so you're looking down at the people that won, as opposed to looking up at them, yeah, you know, because that's important. And that's no, true. But it is, you know, it looked very modern, it looked kind of informal, hippie-ish, maybe a bit, like, there was loads of flowers around, you know?
Yeah, no,
it looked nice. Amazing set design.
It was intimate, I thought, and I thought...
Intimate, yeah.
That little room
with space. They had.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was, like, intimate, but then there was, like, no walls, so it just, like, went back into this giant... They were in a train station, so there was some big room in the train station, I think, that had those high ceilings. But yeah, it was good because the people who were nominated who were there in the main location were just all together, so it was more intimate of like, it's just the main people. It wasn't like all the actors who are nominated for Oscars, and then there's just like, you know, Clint Eastwood and a bunch of people who are just really famous and invited. So it was just the people who were nominated. So that just seemed nice. I think it worked, but I think it worked because maybe it was different. The Golden Globes just went for the Zoom Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Zoom Golden Globes, it was a bit clunky. Where this was like, they kept the Oscars kind of unique because they kind of changed the whole event to get the most out of it, and they refreshed it.
They definitely put effort into it. It felt like its own thing. You know what I mean? It felt
Steadicam work, and
they were like, okay, we have a problem, how do we work around this to make it like its own thing?
Yeah.
And it definitely worked. I liked it. It felt very like chill. It was nice to watch. Everything just felt a little bit slower, a little bit calmer, I guess, like you said, a little bit more intimate.
It was definitely more intimate.
And you know, I think one of the biggest complaints ever at these awards is how one-sided it comes across with the nominees, with the winners, with, you know, in terms of like, I guess you could say, class or the politics of it all, and then race and gender also coming into it. I mean, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask, but it didn't look like that to me this year. It looked very, very diverse. It looked like, you know, they were going into like makeup and set design, and maybe they've already always done that, but like that stuff really stood out more than ever, you know. And they were going into humanitarian awards, and do you know what I mean? And like some of that stuff, I was like, is this pushed, or does this feel natural? And overall, I was just like, I don't care. It just is nice to see. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care if they don't care about it. I don't care if they're only doing it because they think people want to see it. I'm happy. The result is that like everything looked more diverse, and everything had more of a conscious concept behind it.
Yeah.
And I think that the result was really nice to watch. It was kind of inspiring or you know, a bit of a positive night, you could say.
It definitely felt that way, yeah. I think it was more positive. More positive than the Golden Globes, anyway. I think as well, having Amy Schumer and Tina Fey, remember they were in different studios hosting together?
Yeah.
And there was like, the chemistry was off a bit. Amy Poehler was wearing a choker, which is like so 5 years ago. What the
fuck? No, chokers are in, man.
They were in for 2 seconds and then they went out again. The difference is as well that you were watching the full broadcast, where a lot of times you only see the highlights, where they cut out the humanitarian award, they cut out makeup, they might cut out some of those other smart, you know, animated short, best live action short, they cut all that shit out. So when you see the full broadcast, it's a bit longer, and it just, they have like little segments in between stuff. So it has a calmer flow to it. But I think as well, it seemed like they gave a bit more time to people doing their acceptance speeches.
Oh yeah.
You know, we usually the fucking music.
You have to rush.
Yeah, but this time, I think maybe one or two people near the end, I think looked maybe a bit rushed because they maybe fucked up the time at the start. But it just felt, for most of the people, it felt like they were just letting them talk. And like, it was smaller, just come up, say whatever.
Say your thing.
Yeah, thank God. There were a few thanking gods.
Huh? You can't thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you believe in it.
You have to. If you believe in it, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, if you believe in it, makes sense that God would give you the golden statue.
How do you feel about best actor? Because everybody wanted Chadwick Boseman to win.
Okay, so that was actually a bit of a disruption with the Oscars. That
old white man won instead of
that old man,
black man.
And I think,
nearly dead white man won over dead black man.
Yeah,
and that was not good.
That was not good. And if you categorize things through that, and if you look through that narrative, I don't think that's healthy. You know what I mean? You would wonder why the Oscars did that in the end when they know that like.
But they're voted by the people who are in the Academy.
Oh,
if you're an actor or anybody in the entertainment, you can join the Academy and you get the vote. So it's just everybody voted.
Listen, if the whole night was all old white men, and then also at the end it was stolen from Chadwick Boseman. Yeah,
Boseman.
If that's the way the night went, I would understand it. But like, it sounds to me like it was a very diverse night, and in the end,
it was.
Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't about race in the end. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, I've seen the Chadwick Boseman film, My Rainey's Black Bottom. It's brilliant. He's brilliant in it. It's like it's based off a play, so it's very like, you know, long speeches. They won a few awards,
yeah.
And it's really good. And I've seen Gary Oldman. That's the only other thing I've seen. And I mean, Gary Oldman's great. Gary Oldman's great. Full stop. So
he's
great,
incredible. Yeah.
Whether he's better than Anthony Hopkins in The Father, I don't know. I haven't seen Anthony Hopkins in The Father. I'd like to think that they're trying to be as diverse as possible, but then at the same time, if somebody's clearly, like, regardless if they're old white man or if they've won Oscars before, maybe someone's just going to be so good when you, it doesn't matter what the optics of it is.
Of course, yeah.
It's going to go to them. Maybe Anthony Hopkins was just so fucking good this year, even though he's old and he's already won an Oscar, he gets it because he's the fucking best. Doesn't matter whether you're dead or alive or
isn't. I don't know if he's ever lost it. I mean, like, I don't know if he's wowed me in anything over the last few years. I don't know if I've watched anything with him in the last few years, but I've never thought, oh, he's lost it. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is, he's great in anything. He's intense.
He is.
He's still got those killer eyes. He hasn't lost it.
He does.
Soul won music?
It won best animated feature and didn't win best song. Yeah. Judas and the Black Messiah won that. But yeah, no, I think Soul definitely deserves that. I felt bad for, where is it now? The Irish film.
Oh, yeah.
Wolfwalkers. They missed out, and it was really, it's really good. I watched that one as well.
You did see that? Yeah, the animation looks incredible on that. Very Celtic.
It's the only thing that's like, kind of, what would you call it? Like 2D animation. That old school.
Traditional, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they use
even
some
if it's
computers.
Done on a computer, yeah. But it still has that traditional style. Stop. Yeah, that looks beautiful. I need to watch that.
Soul,
you know?
Kicked ass, so it kind of deserved to win. It was such a solid entry from Pixar, who are keeping their standards high.
Beautiful film. Like, I think about that film often.
Incredible, yeah. I just, the whole arc that he goes through, and realizing kind of things about life, it's really good. And then the whole like design of the kind of afterlife was kind of good. It did feel spiritual. It felt spiritual the way Headspace feels spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but not like in any specific religion or anything like that. There's just something nice about it.
And approachable.
Approachable, yeah.
It's not like heavy to think about this afterworld. It's like, it's just,
it's a
floating
place.
Clouds, yeah.
It was really good in the whole thing. Yeah, it was good. And it was good because it did stuff that was good for the kids too. Like the whole, they had a chase scene with the kind of cat as well.
Mm.
Where he goes into the body of the cat. And that's just kind of like, for, it's really great, but then, it's just a chase scene. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's
kind of like, they know what they're doing. Then there's a bit where they chase each other and then there'll be funny things happening while they chase each other. But it works and just adds a bit of that dynamic, you know, thing that you need in a film to keep it going. Okay, what else do we have? One thing we need to talk about is Chloe Zhao. Zhao. She won, she was, I think this is the first time that two women were nominated for directing.
Oh yeah,
she was wearing a great outfit.
She looked incredible.
She had pigtails, a long dress, and she was wearing like the whitest sneakers. She was like, that was like a pretty class outfit.
Did you see her film?
No, but it's going to be on Disney Plus soon. I think maybe actually this weekend.
Brilliant.
So that's one we could do.
Check
soon.
That out, yeah.
It's supposed to be great.
She had a lovely speech and she was very humble.
There was Thomas Vinterberg for another round that won international feature. David Fincher for Mank. which was a great film. Mm-hmm. And then Lee Isaac Chung for Minazari. Oh yeah, this is a 2020 American drama film. This is kind of Asian American then, so that's good. They're being diverse there, certainly. Had Emerald Fennell, who did Promising Young Woman, which me and Anna watched, and I really recommend. She's an actress. She played Camilla Parker Bowles in The Crown, mm-hmm. which is Princess Charles's wife, now wife. Mm-hmm. And she just went out and made this film that's really, really good. You should watch it with Ray. I think Ray would really enjoy it too. It's a lot of feminist themes, and she's kind of going out and pretending to be drunk to trick men to bring her home, like drunk. And then she turns around and goes, actually, I'm not drunk. She's like, starts fucking with them, you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, that's the premise.
Okay.
She'll like act really drunk, and then the guy will be like, oh, I'll put you in a taxi. And she's like, oh, I want to go home. And then they'll be in the taxi, and he's like, oh, my house is actually near here. Why don't we like go back to my house? And like, no, I don't want to go back. He goes, no, and then he just tells the taxi driver and brings her, and then he gives her more drink in the apartment, and he's like, obviously, you know, trying to do something not nice, and then she'll just turn around and stand up and go,
what are you doing?
And he's like, you're not drunk? She said, no, I'm not drunk. Like, oh, shit. Yeah, she says, fucking with them. Surprised it got nominated after I watched it, because it seems like kind of like a crazy little indie film almost. Kerry Mulligan.
Oh, yeah.
She's in it.
Your man, Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston
did a little piece. I found out that he is part of the humanitarian award.
Yeah.
Or he's part of that charity run thing.
I know the one you were talking about. Some like thing that looks after people in the industry. Like he said, his mother got looked after by this thing.
Yeah, and
old
he's
people in the industry who probably fell on hard times and stuff. And
I think so, something like that.
It's like a union. It's like not like a yeah. workers' union, maybe a union for people who retire and stuff, and they give them healthcare and meals and
look
shit
after
like
them. Old people.
It seemed that folks that was cheesy, but like it was for a good cause. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, and they got the award. Why am I bringing this up? But at one point, he does walk to the other studio, or like where the, you know, the massive fucking theater, I guess. And he says, we'll be back here next year.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking, oh, okay, so this is just temporary.
Yeah.
But some people might like some of the format that was
presented to us. I liked it. I guess, see, the Oscars is all about being like the biggest and best thing. And like, what's the difference between the Oscars and the Golden Globes?
It's like just bigger. Right?
Yeah, it's like money. Like money doesn't have any value. It only has value because we all agree that it has value. When it comes to the Oscars, we all accept that, like, oh, that's like the big, most important, in inverted commas, award.
Mm.
So one reason is the culture that they've built around it. And one of the reasons why it has the culture that's built around it is because of the ceremony. And they always have this big ceremony in the Chinese theater in LA. So I imagine they want to go back to that. But I found it more interesting this year because it was different.
Yeah.
And you were kind of like paying maybe a little bit more attention. And I said, oh, like, you know, they're not wearing masks. They all had little ventilators next to them. They had little air things, didn't they? Did you notice that? Next to the lamps. They had these, they looked like kind of hair dryers. They looked little lamps. Like a mug with a hole in the bottom. I think it was just just a little diffuser just to keep the air circulating. But yeah, it just added that little bit of extra spice to it, opposed to like Al Pacino on his Zoom call during the Golden Globes, just like waiting for his assistant to turn it off, like not responding. Like, he looks so awkward. He did not care. Like people, other actors were trying to talk to him through the Zoom call. And he's just kind of sitting there. Yeah. He's just like, turn this off. What did I agree to this?
Oh, man.
So I think it was good. I enjoyed it.
I like how him and Harrison Ford, like, are just, they just don't give a shit.
Harrison Ford actually had a good moment. He read from the Blade Runner's list.
Didn't he? Okay.
Oh, you probably didn't see that, maybe. No, maybe switched off. He got up and you know, gave out an award or something. But at the very start, he read off a list of notes that they got while they were editing Blade Runner, the production company, whatever.
Yeah.
Fox was like, oh, the opening's too slow, and we don't like the voiceover or this and that. And he was kind of just slagging off the notes, but they were like a proper official notes that they gave Ridley Scott for the film.
That he ignored.
Oh, yeah. He just ignored. It's just funny.
Because it's a masterpiece.
Exactly, yeah. And they had to, I think they forced them to change some things. They changed the ending. They gave it a happy ending. They drive into the countryside.
Wow.
In the ending, there's a voiceover in the original cut. There's a few things that they changed.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's kind of crazy the way they do that, especially when people are happy with it. Well, I mean, are they, that's a thing, you know, I mean, you've got the wider audience that you probably want to appeal to, and then you might have, like, kind of more niche people that are going to really love the world you've built and, and want it to be something different and not just to be spoon-fed in certain places. So there's just kind of two audiences you're catering to. Maybe just before we finish up, though, you touched on something during a run the other day about Star Wars I didn't know about.
What was
you were talking that George Lucas has gone back and re-edited all the old films.
With
modern CGI.
He did this, I remember he did this in like the late 90s, because I remember my uncle bought the VHS tapes, and this must have been just before, I mean, he remastered it, and they re-released it in the cinema, because I remember actually going to the cinema with my mom to see it, and they did this before they released the new films, you know, 1999, you had The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So this is just like a cash grab by Lucas.
So they re-released it in cinema, but at that point, had he already adjusted everything?
That was a part of it. It was like Star Wars Special Edition. So he re-cut them, redid sound, remastered them, and redid graphics, and then re-released it in the cinemas. And then I think a year or two later, then the new trilogy started coming out. But yeah, so he went back and he... Like, there's significant changes in it, like loads of fucking monsters walking across the screen and stuff, like ridiculous shit. Yeah, I mean, I know people who didn't realize that was edited, and when I told them, they were like, you know, a friend of mine was always amazed at Star Wars because the graphics look so good. And then when I told him, like, no, they're the graphics from the late 90s, he was like, oh, you know, it spoiled the thing a bit of the fun for him, because he thought, like, I can't believe this film from the 70s.
Right.
Has like these computer graphics, like, how do they look so good? But he was like, no, he just fucking squashed in a bunch of lizards and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
if there was two versions, and one was the special remastered 90s cut, that'd be cool. You want to see it with a modern twist and a few things that the director thinks you should see it through this lens now?
Yeah.
Cool. Have that as a version. But the fact that you cannot get the original is weird. The fact that he's done it so that, like, you almost can't, like, enjoy it the way it just originally came out, to me that just seems a little bit kind of, there's something, to me personally, I just think there's something kind of gross about that you kind of, you thought it was so imperfect the way it came out that you don't want anyone to ever see it the way it was. It needs to just be, you know, this perfect piece of art that you know what I mean. I just kind of like the fact that, I think it was Casey Neistat, a YouTuber I like, that talked about how human isn't perfect. To be human is not perfect, is to be imperfect. And that's why he was always, something about his filmmaking was always about pushing the envelope about things not being perfect. And that's why his film style is like that. And I thought, that makes sense. Especially if you're someone that was into kind of skate culture. Yeah. If you were to make a video or movie or short film coming from skate culture, you might have that style where it's like, I don't want the camera to always be on a tripod. I don't mind if there's mistakes. That's part of the process. You add that in. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, there needs to be a bit more of that sometimes in filmmaking, where it's not always just this finished piece of art that needs to be completely perfect and every shot so symmetrical and everything's...
Yeah.
There's an art for... There's a style, there's a place for that too. But, like, you finish those movies. You know, you should love them the way they are.
I think there's a part of George Lucas that maybe he's a bit of a control freak or something. Yeah. He kept going back. And that wasn't the first time he went back. He would constantly go back in years and decades since. And, like, if you got the VHS tape from late 90s when the special edition came out and you looked at, say, 10 years ago, a new version, you know, a new anniversary DVD comes out, he keeps making little changes. There's people online who go back and be like, oh, they changed Jabba the Hutt slightly in this shot for like the fifth time.
Whoa.
And he's just like weird. So like the version of the film that came out in the cinema is not even just a different version, it's like constantly changed.
Jesus.
I just pulled it up here. I want to see if there's any, well, the most famous one is that Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan, you know, see their ghosts at the end. So this is the original Darth Vader, and then he went back and put Hayden Christensen in.
What?
The third of the original trilogy. So he goes back. It makes no sense. Look at him. So that's the original film, because Darth Vader's old when he dies, and then he goes back and he puts Hayden Christensen in.
Who lets him do this? He has full rights. Can Disney not stop him?
Disney will probably go back and they can release stuff. See, some of the good stuff that they did was remastered, like the negative. So look, here's one here. Look, there's like a shot of 1980. So you can see her in the window, and now they've gone back and they've remodeled the city. They've added the little flying thing. Jabba the Hutt was a real man, and then they just turned him into a CGI. That's Jabba the Hutt in the original film.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt was never this?
No, Jabba the Hutt was this, and then when the second film came out, they changed him into the big puppet, the big slope puppet.
Yeah.
But in the very first film, he was just like a guy. And then they were like, oh, we don't want to be in a guy anymore, so they just changed him into a slope for the second film.
But I probably saw the second film then.
Yeah. But in the original film, he went back and he CGI'd over the original man. I made him a CGI slug so it matched the sound. It gets really complicated, doesn't it?
Why do you do this?
It's just a mess. See, look, and that's the 2004 version.
I just think, the reason this upsets me so much is because there's an obsessive compulsiveness to this kind of stuff that I think a lot of artists do have, where it's like, you need to add another detail. But, like, this striving for perfection, I think, overall, is destructive behaviour more than creating order or what you think you're doing. You should leave, you know. I think Star Wars will have, if we could get that original stuff, I think it's a gem because it captures what was possible at that time. Yeah. And shouldn't be fucked with, you know. And that's coming from someone who's not even a giant Star Wars fan.
Yeah. You're making a good point, because the reason why Star Wars is so successful isn't because he went back and changed it. It was a huge...
As it was.
Yeah.
It had the potential.
It had a huge thing at the time. Yeah, you know what I mean? It captured people's imaginations at the time. Little kids in the 70s watching it. Maybe they showed it on TV or if you had some special cable channel. But like, they had to wait. Kids who saw it in the 70s probably had to wait until the 80s until they could get a Betamax tape
of it. Oh my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like now you watch it and next year you can stream it as much times as you want from Netflix.
That must have been quite magical as well, though. Because then you'd go back to the cinema over and over again, right?
Well, that's
to have
it,
that experience, and then you leave the cinema and it just stays with you.
They can only see it on that screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a documentary called The People versus George Lucas.
Yeah.
It's like a proper documentary.
They're trying to stop him.
Interviewing fans and how the fans like love Star Wars so much, but they've come to hate George Lucas because he keeps changing
it. He's ruining it.
Yeah, he's ruining his own thing, yeah. That's what he fucking sold it to Disney, because he realized, like...
No, but I think, yeah, just make the future better. Don't try and just... you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good lesson for everyone, you know? You can blame everything based on the past, or you can try and make a better future. And
that's the best falafel.
Falafel. That is the best falafel.
Yeah.
Best falafels on the market.
Why don't we just call it the Ministry of Falafel? Could we do that?
Yeah, I guess we could. All right, we'll leave it there.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one. All the best.